You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Kelly, it's very popular. I don't know if you all follow those Marvel movies, but you know, you have a superhero and then they have to tell a story about where the superhero story comes from. Mm-hmm. They're called origin stories.
Yes.
Well, what is the true origin story behind the Easter story? And to find that out, we've got Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministries, who is here to help us understand the story behind the Easter story. Hey, what's going on there? And happy Easter, happy resurrection to you, Nancy.
Well, same to you, Kelly and Steve. That was a great intro, Mr. Marvel.
Well, you know, they always do this. This is the only way they can make money, is to tell a story about the story. And, you know, pretty soon they're just going to get to the who's the guy who wrote the story and make a movie about him.
As long as it's full of special effects, we don't care.
As long as things blow up. Well, I mean, hey, when you think about it, you know, when that time came, the earth shook, the curtain tore. There was a lot of special effects going on that time.
Oh, yeah.
But trust me, there's a bigger picture behind all of this. My goodness. So what is the story behind the Easter story then?
And the thing is, the cool thing is, it's a true story. You know, we get into the Marvel stuff, and it's very clever and creative, but this is true. And it's so important that we go back to home base here. This actually is an event in history. And, you know, I don't know about you, what you did on Easter, but for me, this Easter, I mean, there was something about it that is so holy, so tender. When we stop to contemplate what God the Father and God the Son did for us, it really is so emotional. It brings us to tears when we really understand the sacrificialness of what happened here. Mm. And who were the recipients? We were the superficial, entitled, you know, selfish humans who are completely unworthy of receiving such a gift of forgiveness that came obviously at a great price to God. And to think God himself suffered under the weight of our sin is truly beyond human understanding when we really stop to think about it. We don't deserve it. We don't even come close to it. And I'm sure I don't know a single soul that would have gone through what he went through for us, for him or anybody else. Only God could do something like this. Mm. And he didn't have to do it. He did it because he loves us. He did it because it was his plan from the beginning of time. He knew how we were going to sin. He knew how selfish we are. And he did it anyway. And to me, it is just beyond human understanding, because it wasn't something that when times got rough, he said, okay, so now I've got to come up with a plan to try to have a relationship with mankind. He did this from beginning before time. He knew he would come and sacrifice his son. And we see this in Genesis 3:15, when God made his first prophecy of the impending sacrifice of his son. And he said this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, singular, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Talking about the sacrifice of Christ and actually declaring Satan gone and powerless as Christ died and rose again. The bigger picture of this is huge. But the resurrection of Christ truly for us is the beginning of the most extraordinary life that we will have with Jesus. From the moment we believe to the point where he comes back to take us to heaven and then eternity with him, it is incredible. It's this time when we see the scriptures come alive and all that prophecy coming to fruition. You know, God gave us at that time of belief the Holy Spirit. He wasn't leaving us, as he said before he died. He said, I'm going to give you a comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit himself, to live in us, to guide us, to give us hope during challenging times, especially these times, as you all were talking mm-hmm. about earlier. You know, it's terrifying. But to think that God's Spirit himself lives in us and wants us to have peace during these times. And, you know, goes back to these ads we're seeing, you know, he's got it. He's got us.
Yeah.
And that's the huge takeaway from this thing. Mm.
So when you get into the detail of the story behind the yeah. story, there is a real grittiness to it that I don't, it's just a unique way of looking at it. And it's really beautiful and maybe not quite what you would expect when you dig into it this way. So Nancy, take it away and share this story.
Yeah, you know, it changed the way I look at Easter. And every Easter, even last year, we talked about this a little bit, because I think sometimes a fresh new perspective of an event like this, especially this story, just changes lives, changes perspective of how we look at things. And it came from a Lutheran preacher who told this story behind the Easter story when she spoke to 10,000 people at Red Rocks, which is an amphitheater out in Denver. It was freezing cold on this Easter morning, and she was bundled up, and she spoke, and she began to paint a picture with words of what understanding the relationship with our Lord is like on a moment-by-moment basis. And her message was not your typical Easter message that I expected. It was blunt, it was raw, and it was beautifully honest. And when it was over, I myself was forever changed, and maybe this will shed some light and hope for you. But the preacher had a thing toward churches and most Christians as to how we dress up on Easter. And she says to impress one another and the visitors. To her, the real story behind Easter is dirt, its bodies, its confusion, and its sadness. And it's about how God never seems to adhere to our expectations of what a, quote, proper God would do, such as not getting himself killed was totally avoidable, but he did it anyway. Hmm. And she says God didn't look very impressive at Easter, not the churchy sense, and certainly not if Mary Magdalene mistook him for a gardener. Perhaps Mary Magdalene thought the resurrected Christ was a gardener because Jesus still had the dirt from his own tomb under his nails. Of course, she goes on, the church depiction of the risen Christ never showed dirt under his nails. They make him look more like a wingless angel than a gardener. My experience, however, is that God, the God of Easter, is a God with dirt under his nails. Resurrection never feels like being made clean, made nice and pious like Easter pictures. The way she speaks about the realness of our Savior is raw. Hearing this makes me see Jesus more as a real person with dirty fingernails and all, rather than a distant, holy God who stayed away from messes.
So, Nancy, all right, so as I'm picturing this and thinking of that, you know, the dirt itself, right? The bodies,
right.
That if it's not then about being clean, what was God's intent then in doing that?
Yes, and she goes on to say this. God was never about making me spiffy. God was about making me new. New doesn't always look perfect. Oh, this is such a great story for us. Christians, listen to this. New doesn't always look perfect, like the Easter story itself. New is often messy. New looks like recovering alcoholics. New looks like reconciliation between family members who don't deserve it. new looks like every time I manage to admit I was wrong and every time I manage not to mention when I'm right. New looks like a very fresh start at every act of forgiveness and every moment of letting go of what we thought we couldn't live without, and somehow living without it anyway. Let me read that again, because this is just so important. New looks like every fresh start in every act of forgiveness and every moment of letting go of what we thought we couldn't live without, and somehow living without it anyway. New is the thing we never saw coming, never hoped for, but ends up being what we needed all along. And it happens to all of us. God simply keeps reaching down into the dirt of humanity, resurrecting us from the graves we dig for ourselves through our violence, our lies, our selfishness, our arrogance, and our addictions. And God keeps loving us back to life over and over and over again. You know, this is the heart of the message. Not that we're religious, not that we're all clean and perfect and spiffy, as she says, but this whole idea of being real and being okay with being messy, being okay with being dirty, because that's what this life is. It's okay to be fearful, you know, and not being perfect, or doubt and not having all the answers. Because the God who died on the cross, hears spirit for we who believe, lives in us and is about making us new in a multitude of ways within our own lives. And that's the story behind this story. It's the everyday story of newness that we have because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Isaiah 43:1-3, this, do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. Don't be afraid. I will save you. This is a promise from Isaiah 43. Wow, if you haven't read Isaiah 43, it's just so perfect at this season. And I think the takeaway here is that we all celebrate Easter with a better understanding of what Jesus did for us personally. His death was bloody, and it was painful, and it was horrific. And he did it for all of us, so that we could be new creations like him in the way we choose, not naturally, but the way we choose through the Holy Spirit in us to love, to live, to forgive, and to push through the hard times, because God promised us that he would be with us every step of the way. And Satan would love to convince us that we are alone, that nobody cares, and that life is horrible, and it's terrifying, and you're going to suffer. And God is saying, no, I suffered on the cross that you might have peace, that you might have joy, that you might have the power to overcome.
Yeah.
And I just think failing, being messy, is part of us being human. But God, in his rescue of us, does the best. And he saves us, and he encourages every day of our lives with dirty fingernails, with messy clothes, with messy hearts, with messy spirits. He's there to be with us and love us as we are. It's such a great lesson, because we keep wanting people to change so we can love them. In God's sake, you have to be more like me. We're going to start loving people that are messy. Mm. And it's amazing. But this preacher lives in Denver and has a huge ministry to the homeless and the addicts. And her heart is just so sensitive to this and so pure to this that she sees through all the clutter and sees human beings that whose lives are changed from the inside out. They're still on the streets, a lot of them, but they know Jesus and they have the peace that passes all understanding. Absolutely amazing.
No matter where we are, you know, we need to know him. And that is a beautiful picture because ultimately, yes, we are just, scripture says, you know, what do we have to offer but filthy rags? Mm-hmm. You know, that is the picture of our lives is just mess. That's who we are.
This was great. Yeah.
I love
it. Really
this.
Is. I do too. I just kind of think about it, of all the messes, and it's so easy to get critical. But then you think that Christ died for every single person, all those annoying people in our lives, and I might be an annoying person in their life too, so whatever. But you know, just the idea that there is a story behind the story, and these people that are annoying or whatever, hurtful or whatever, they're hurting themselves. And we need to see that in people so that we can be the Jesus in them and forgive them and to continue, whether they like us or not. I think the last thing we need to worry about is people are going to like us. The point is, are we loving and forgiving those people, living life to the full? Because there's so many people out there that need a word of encouragement rather than condemnation. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's such an incredible story that Christ would be so merciful. And the thing is, this is all predicted before time. And we see the prophecies in Scripture from the one in Genesis that we wrote, but all the way through the Scriptures is that he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. That's what the Old Testament is about. You know, that bloodline from Genesis 3:15 all the way through, preserving the bloodline of Christ so he could die for us on the cross. I mean, it's just amazing, all those prophecies, 2,000 prophecies about Jesus in the Old and the New Testament, all of them fulfilled, every single one of them fulfilled. No religion can claim that. No other religion can come close. And that's why I think when we meet people of different religions and this and that and the other, the question to ask is, do you believe that Jesus is God, that he rose from the dead? He died for our sins, rose from the dead, and only one religion, only one will say, yes, I do. And that's Christianity, because this is the key point. This is the key to what we believe, that Jesus Christ died and rose again. It's what separates us from all other religions, all other false religions, all the cults, everything. It's a question that we need to have buried in our soul. Yes, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I'm still a mess, but I believe. And, you know, then it gets raw, and then it gets real, you know, when we stop acting like we're better than people and that we dress up and, as this woman was talking about, dress up and try to convince people just how perfect we are. And it's just, no, not at all. Not at all. So it's just the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful part of Easter that I think we celebrate. And I know we try to with us, and, you know, then some kids threw a donut across church. Oh, well. And, you know, it gets down to messy and dirty. And so, you know, even with my own grandkids sitting there with donuts and stuff all over them, and they're sitting in church pretending everything is fine. You know, I'm thinking that's just like me. That's just exactly like me, only I don't have all the stuff all over me, but still we all do. And we just have to realize that God loves us just as we are, and I'm good with that. I'm grateful for it. It's exhausting to try to be perfect.
Amen.
You know? Amen.
So good.
So let's just jump in the sandbox and have fun. That's what I'm saying.
Well, another place where you can have some fun and learn is anchorsaway.org. And I want to encourage everyone to go over, find out about the Worldview and Leadership Training. There is a Christian worldview that is being presented here at this website and through these different channels. You can do live class. You can do the Worldview Boot Camp online.
Right.
You can find out all sorts of information and see the curriculum. There's free downloads of information and an archive of all of Nancy's questions of the week where you can find that at anchorsaway.org. That's the place you're going to go.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. You know what? Parents, if you've got teens and you want a way to at least give them a fighting chance when they go to college, I would encourage you to go to our website and just sign up. Just do something where you can start learning. Even, you know, we'll even send you videos of a class that you can sit through with your teens yourself or get it into your churches. But churches have been negligent, I'm just saying, in training up young people, juniors and seniors in high school and college students. They just simply don't know, and they're walking away from their faith because it's not grounded in them. It's not grounded in their souls. So therefore, they're so fragile when it comes to hearing other worldviews. Up to 90% of them are walking away from their faith. This is a pandemic, and nobody's paying attention. And so we are trying our best to encourage parents to have their churches or even themselves or even with a small group of students just to get together, work through these videos to prepare them for the fight that they're going to be in, whether a Christian college, sadly, or a secular college. So, right? So it's not easy for them, that's for sure.
No, it's not. So if you are the parent of that teen and headed off maybe perhaps even into their first year of college locally, you're going to want to be sure that you go to anchorsaway.org, find out that information today and get those resources. Nancy, thank you so much for your efforts, not only in the ministry, but also for the daily work that you are doing and the weekly Worldview Questions.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your work, both of you. Take care.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.